Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is 66th lecture on Genesis. In the lecture, last lecture, I explained how God created women with a rib He took from Adam. Genesis chapter 2, 24 says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become a one flesh." People may think this verse only talks about marriage, about men and women. However, this verse is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 5, 31. Ephesians chapter 5, 31 to 32 says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to be his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great." But I'm speaking with a reference to the Christ and the church. When a man and woman leave their parents and become one, why is it that the big secret? Obviously, when I reveal the secret, it be nourished by faith. That's it. It does not mean that a man, a woman who are a couple and building a family, but the spiritual meaning is that I'm speaking about the Christ and the church. In deep inspiration, the Apostle Paul understood the spiritual meaning of the verse and confessed that the mystery is great. Pastors must explain and convey the spiritual meaning of the Bible, whether it's Old or New Testament. It should not be taken literally. Every single word there has a spiritual meaning. We must understand the spiritual meaning that God has enlightened us with us, preached and conveyed to souls. What is the mystery that Apostle Paul understood? It's a mystery about the secret to reach salvation. That's why the secret is great. The men and women in the Genesis chapter 2, 24 don't refer only to husband and wife in the fleshly sense. In a spiritual sense, it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ and God's children who are saved. Spiritually, it refers to our Savior Jesus Christ and the saved children of God. It refers not to children who will be saved, but to children of God who haven't been saved. The Bible calls our Lord the bridegroom, and those who save the children, the brides. The feast that the Lord holds with the saved souls for 7 years after His descendant into the air is called the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is our Lord Jesus Christ. But I heard a preacher said that the lambs are beginners and the other sheep are those with a lot of faith, and the little lambs are beginners. That's how he explained the feed the lambs in the book of John. But the Lamb refers to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, Revelation, and the many other books in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the Lamb is Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation too, but how absurd it is to say that the Lamb is a new believer. Here, the feast held for 7 years with a saved soul is called the Wedding Feast of the Lamb. It's called the Seven-Year Banquet. Revelation chapter 19:9 says that, "He said to me, 'Right, blessed are those who are invited to marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" The words of God is true. And blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast. Those who are not invited are thrown into the seven-year tribulation. That's it, they remain on this earth without being saved. Only those who are invited can enter the seven-year banquet. To do so, they must wear wedding garments. That is, they must be sanctified. And this way, the Lord will come to take the holy children. If you commit adultery, lewdness, sodomy, all kinds of lying, greed, money, fraud, and do things that you should not do as a child of a God, and say, I believe, then it's a lie. This is what the Bible says, you are a liar. If you do not act according to the truth, do not live in the light, live in the darkness, live in the evil, and say, I believe in the Lord and the love God. It is all a lie. It's said in 1 John, those who tell just such a lies, who do not even dress up as a bride, will not be taken when our Lord comes. They will fall into the seven-year tribulation. Therefore, you must know what a life of faith is and not fall into the seven-year tribulation. If the Lord comes now, will you be chosen? That's why I'm making this desperate appeal. You should not cut corners in living a faith life. It's not all to receive a blessing and the Holy Spirit by just faithfully praying at the annual prayer service all night long. Apostle Paul described the spiritual bridegroom and the bride as a Christ and the church, and the Christ is the Lord, our bridegroom, and the church refers to the saved children of God. The church, it doesn't refer only to the visible physical building. The truly important core of the church are those who worship God in the sanctuary. You become a true church yourself. Each and every one of them is the church, and the congregation is the church as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 says, Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? This means that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. He dwells in our hearts. This is why we say that we are the temple of God, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. It's truly amazing that the holy temple, the temple of God, dwells with us. It's incredible and unimaginable things. You guys don't know how much grace God has bestowed on us and how much we live without knowing it. He gave us the Holy Spirit and made us a holy temple. That's why He says we must not defile the temple. If we defile this temple, we will not be saved. Let's say that in our hearts, where we have the Holy Spirit, there's adultery, thievery, selfishness, greed, there's pride, envy, jealousy, hatred. Such a things, this situation should not happen. Furthermore, if there's a lust in our temple, how can this be? There's adultery, how can this be? So even though I shout and shout like that, you do not obey. we still do not abandon lust, and you still commit adultery. If that is the case, your hearts, which are the temple, should be clean, but they are still dirty. As said, the person in whom the Holy Spirit dwells in the temple of God, which is the church in the spiritual sense. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1-2 says, to the church of the God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in the Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. By the words of truth, evil is cast away, and those who are sanctified are holy and called to be saints. And those who are sanctified are called saints. Everyone who goes to church is not a saint. If you go to church, you are a church member now. We must become holy according to the words of our Lord Jesus to be called saints. And to all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Those who have been holy in Jesus Christ and those who are called on the name of the Lord, in other words, the saved children of God, are called the church of God. Therefore, when Genesis chapter 2:24 says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, it doesn't only refer to a marriage between a man and a woman. You should realize this verse contains the spiritual secret of the relationship between Jesus Christ and those who are the saved souls. Now, what's this secret of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the saved children of God? Before we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we were slaves to sin. We are slaves to sin because we live a life of sin. As Jesus said in John chapter 8:34, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. We must become a servant of our Lord, servant of God. But if you are against God's law, you are a servant of a sin. Who triggers you to commit sin? The enemy, the devil. Now the father to those who are slaves to sin is the enemy devil. That is the ruler of the world. It's just as Jesus said in John chapter 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desire of your father. 1 John chapter 3:8 also says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Before the sin is forgiven by Jesus Christ, all are sinners who belong to the devil, the ruler of the darkness. When they accept Jesus Christ and are forgiven of their sin, then they no longer belong to the devil. They are not the children of the devil, and they are not sinners any longer. Just as a man leaves his parents and is united with his wife, so we leave the rule of darkness and becomes one with the Lord, our bridegroom. This is a truly great secret. We get away worldly things and receive the Lord as our Savior. And become one with Him. Helped by the Holy Spirit, we are married with Him. So the Lord is in me, and we become His bride. There is bound to be a distance between the sibling, also between the parents and the children. However, a couple is the closest relationship because they are one body. but between sibling or between parents and children, there's a distance, a little bit distance between their relationship. But couple is the closest relationship. The Lord said, if I and the Lord abides in me, we are one. It's so glorious to be one with the Lord and therefore to be acknowledged as His true children. And they receive the right to become the children of God. Not only do we become one with Him, but we also receive the authority to become children of God. That means we call God Abba, Father. The servant of a sin, those who commit sin, cannot call God their Father. Why? They cannot be called the children of God. They are servant of the devil. Devil. They are born from their father, the devil, and the servant of a sin. For such a people to call the God the Father is to blasphemy. Blasphemy God. How can the devil's children call God the Father? It's a great humiliation for God the Father. So the prayer of such a people are not heard, and they cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Just as John chapter 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. What an amazing authority to become a child of God He is. If you have a faith, you can be proud of yourself as a child of God. You can walk proudly. If you still envy people who wear luxurious clothes and shoes and live in the huge mansions, saying, oh, I'm so shabby. That's because you don't know that you've received the authority to become the children of God. If you have a faith, you cannot do that. Would the beggar Lazarus be proud? Would the rich man who had a lot of money and held a feast every day be proud? The reason was the beggar Lazarus was held in the arm of the Abraham, the father of faith, and went to the heaven, while the one who had a lot of money and contacted him every day and held a feast went to hell. Why can't you live proudly on this earth even though you are a child, God's daughters and the sons? Because you commit the sins. In addition, Galatians chapter 4:6 says, because you are son, God has sent forth the spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Let me read it again. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God has sent forth the Holy Spirit to those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and allow them to call God Abba Father. It's in this way that they become God's children and the heirs to His kingdom. God said so. The gold is mine, the silver is mine. Therefore, the gold is my father's, the silver is my father's. God the Father's can become mine. Let's be loved by God and unite and become one with Him. Then father's things become the children's. It says Galatians chapter 4:7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. When you do not receive the Lord and remain in sin, you become a child of the devil and will ultimately inherit hell with the devil. Liars, idolaters, covetous, adulterers, and those who commit adultery out of lust, if we divide them broadly, these people will inherit hell. Now, where in the Bible does it say that these people can be saved? You never find a saying in the Bible. On the other hand, if they accept the Lord and become the children of God, they inherit heaven from God. How can those who are saved inherit only heaven? On this earth, God gives us everything we want, everything we have. Why? If you love God, He will give us as much as we are loved. And if we please God, He will also receive the glory and give as much as He pleases through His children. Therefore, the first man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, contains the secret of a human cultivation and salvation. That's why this secret is great spiritually. It does not mean that a man and woman leave their parents and get married and live together. As God the Father created the woman as a helper suitable for Adam, He hovered the secret of a human cultivation and the salvation in his heart. And Apostle Paul realized it, and so he said, the mystery is great. Our Lord explained each of these Old Testament words especially to his disciples. We can recall our days from the day we were born till today in just a few moments. We can scan through them even in a moment. In this way, when God created women, He was able to foresee the future providence of a human cultivation and the salvation. Of course, all the providence was already put in the heart of the Father even before He began the work of the creation. God knew that Adam would sin and be driven out of the Garden of Eden in the future, and that this would require a Savior, so He prepared a way to salvation in advance. In this seemingly ordinary words taken literally are contained the secret of the greatest and the most amazing blessing for God's children. Therefore, you should give thanks and sing praises forever and ever to God who blessed you to hear and understand this amazing secret and to reach salvation. Dear brothers and sisters, there's more to be enlightened about the part where the saints welcome the Lord and become one with Him. There are many couples in the world, but the degree to which their hearts are one varies. Likewise, the degree to which the saints are the one with the Lord also varies. Even between a married couple, the degree of a unity of a heart is different for each person. The same goes for the parents and the children. In this way, the degree of unity among the believers with the Lord is different for each person. So the measure of faith expresses these differences. From the first stage of the faith to fifth one, and it's also divided into 100. In the first stage of faith, there are stages from 1% to the 100 person, and even in the second stage, there are stages like that. Now, in the third stage, if in the 1, 2, 3, percent, then 50, 60, and the 60% is called the rock of faith. If you stand on the rock of faith, it's a faith that allows you to be a model for our Lord and for the kingdom of God, the faith that allows you to be boldly in the name of the Jesus Christ is the rock. You firmly believe that you are dead, you go to heaven, so you are not afraid of death. And when you stand on the rock, you will not find any evil within you. If you stand on the rock of a faith, when you look back on yourself, you will not find any evil in your heart. There's no greed, no envy, no jealousy, no judgment, no condemnations. But just you have only goodness. Don't be confused that if it means you're going to the Spirit. When you stand on the rock of faith, you may mistake it for a Spirit because you don't feel evil. Step three of a faith, you need to go beyond the 60%, going toward the 70, 80, 90%. And 99%. And you reach the 100%, you can go to the Spirit. However, this step of entering the Spirit is difficult because you do not feel the sinfulness in your heart. So you may have a spiritual pride and not know yourself well from the stage. But if there's something like envy, jealousy, hatred, still hating others, still committing the adultery, still lusting, and if there's something bad left in you, then you are far from the rock of faith. So the degree of unity between the saints and the Lord is so different. You cannot become one with the Lord 100% just because you may confess with your lips that you believe in the Lord. From the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you begin to become one with the Lord. To the extent your heart changes into the truth, you become one with the Lord more perfectly. John chapter 17:23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Why should the Holy Spirit be in us? He says that teaches be perfect, be holy, get rid of even the appearance of evil. He wants to make you perfect and become the one with you. If you have a sin and evil, you cannot become one with our Lord and our God. Our Lord, who is our bridegroom, is a pure without blemish or spot. But if you have a blemish, ugly, dirty, jealous, envious, adulterous, all kinds of things like a thief, covetousness, and all kinds of ugly thoughts. Can you say that you are a bride of our pure bridegroom? You can't say that. You are a servant of sin, servant of the devil. How can you say to be a bride of our Lord, the Lord of hosts and the King of kings? In this verse, I refers to Jesus, who is the Word that became flesh and came to the earth. I in them means that the Word is in them. In order for the Word of God to be in us, we must not only know it intellectually, but we must also realize it in our hearts spiritually. When you make a spiritual bread of the Word of God like this, you can become perfect and become one with the Lord. If you cultivate the Word of God in your heart by 30%, you become one with the Lord by 30%. If you make a bread of the Word of God by 50%, you become 50% with the Lord. If you accept according to God's Word and achieve the 50% of spiritually, then you have become one with the Lord by about 50%. A good person is someone who does everything he knows. If you know 50% of the Father's words, you can simply do what you know with your spirit, because a good person has a good heart. If you make 100% of its breath, you are one with the Lord by 100%. Of course, the fact that you become one with the Lord by the 100% doesn't mean that you are equal with the Lord. It rather means that you don't have evil, but you have only goodness and the love left in your heart, and at this level, you perfectly resemble the Lord. Such a person is the one who is in a perfect unity. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Dear my beloved saints, the word of God is absolutely infallible. It's absolutely true and without error. It's exactly as it was written. Even if our saints do not completely abide in the words, if you live according to the words, you do not encounter disaster. If you make a mistake and get into the car accident, you are protected. The words of God is absolute. So here too, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. God will answer all of them. I experience these words all the time. No matter what I ask, I get a response from God. Many times, even before I ask, God foreknows what I will need and gives it to me. I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you may enjoy this kind of a joy and blessing.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.